Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of 2 Timothy. We'll also be reading a portion out of Hebrews 12. I'm talking about endurance this morning. I know we've endured things. Amen. Sometimes we endure people. Sometimes they endure us. Did I get that right? I included everybody, I think. Yeah. Okay. But I'm glad that Jesus endured so much and does so much for us. Thankful that we have a God that's enduring, and He wants us to endure things, not to endure. He wants us to be an overcomer as well. But some things we have to endure. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Scott. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you also become weary and discouraged in your souls. Father, I praise your name today, God. You're so worthy of all praise. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you would condescend to us, to talk to us, to give us eternal life, to give us redemption and forgiveness of sins, and to have a settled account with you. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you bless as we minister the word of God today. Anoint your servant, anoint your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We endure a lot of things. Sometimes we endure looking at pictures taken of us when we were younger. Said, hey, anybody could look at that. I don't know. A particular woman returned her photos to a photographer, and she looked the photographer in the eye and says, these pictures do not do me justice. The photographer said, looked at her and said, ma'am, you don't need justice, you need mercy. Endurance. Some things we endure, some people we endure, some people endure us. It's not quite as strong today, but we used to endure a long line at Walmart. And the word we dreaded hearing was price check. Second aisle. And we'd have to wait. But parents and children endure. Parents endure a child in adolescence. Well, they're changing from a child or a kid into a grown person. And before you start pointing fingers, let me tell you, if you're older than 14 or younger, you did the same thing, and parents endured you just like you're enduring yours or grandkids or whatever. So God has given us in the human spirit where we can endure. Praise the Lord. But how much does God endure?
with all of us. Thousands, millions of people, God listens to every prayer, God never gets tired, God never quits, God never gives up. How? He's God, that's how. And He has the answer, He has all things. So let's look at endurance for a few minutes here. First of all, what is endurance? What does endurance mean to you? We are instructed here in Hebrews to endure as Christ endured. We're instructed to endure in our faith as Jesus did. And you know, in chapter 12, it says there that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that's not referring to somebody in the future. That's referring to the people that are talked about in chapter 11. And they endured a lot of things. You can find Abel endured Cain. Cain's parents raised Cain. But anyway, people endured. Abraham endured. Isaac endured. Everybody endured some things. They were people of faith. They kept on going regardless of what they had to endure. And that's what we have to do. But here in Hebrews 12, we find that Jesus endured the cross. You and I have never endured anything as strong as Jesus did. He endured the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, and the death for sins that He never committed, but you and I committed. And that's not, I'm just not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just saying that's the truth. Jesus endured suffering on the cross while He paid the ultimate sacrifice for my sins and yours. He poured out His soul into death because sin incurred the death penalty. But Jesus took our place and died in our place for our sins when it should have been us. Amen. But He had the authority to lay down His life and the authority to take it again, which He did both. Okay? And Jesus endured the burden of our sins. When you've ever felt guilty about anything, Jesus endured the guilt. When you've endured grief and sorrow by the passing of someone close to you or near you or someone that you loved, and it was hard for you to endure that, but Jesus did it on the cross. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." And so Jesus never meant for you to face life and to live life and to carry all the things here alone. He didn't mean for you to endure alone. He endured them for us so that He could help us along the way, and He does help. Amen. I tell you, there's times when I've, you know, been broken because I've, you know, had both of my parents are deceased. Yeah, but I can tell you I didn't grieve alone. God was there with me. He helped me. He walked with me. He talked with me. My friend, you won't ever come across anything in this life if you're willing to walk with God and live for God and turn your cares over to God. God will walk you through no matter how hard it may seem. He's never failed. He's not going to fail. He's ever dependable and faithful. Praise God. The scripture here in Hebrews 12, consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus endured all the awful things that were said about Him at the cross. He endured the mockery of those who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of Israel, scribes, the Pharisees, hypocrites, and yet they condemned Him. And they said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe you." They wouldn't have. Two thieves were crucified with Christ, one on the right, one on the left. One mocked God, they both did for a little while, and then one of them says, "Hey, wait a minute." He said to the other thief, "We're hanging here on this cross because we deserve it, and we were murderers, we were robbers, we were thieves. We're hanging here because we deserved it. We rebelled against Rome." But this man in the middle cross, he didn't do anything wrong. And he said, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's the mercy of God. And so Jesus endured the cross, the awful things, but He gives us strength to endure. It says here in the third verse, it says, "When you are discouraged in your souls, just remember Him who endured greater things than you did." Pardon me. How many of you have ever been discouraged? I know the answer to that before I ask it. You've been discouraged before. There's many things that lead to discouragement. You know what? God is there to pick you up and to lift you up and say, hey, it's not that bad. Amen. And he says in his word, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not give up, lose heart, quit, or faint. And so, what do you endure? We endure tests of nature when illness or sicknesses arise. We endure people we don't get along with. We endure politicians, and we're glad we're not one. We endure unexpected loss of friend, family member, employment, income, or when we're forced to make decisions we don't want to make. Many people, it means moving somewhere else in the country, and you have to get used to a whole new set of people. And you can move from one state in this United States to the other, and people don't think exactly alike or don't talk exactly alike, but their expressions are different. Amen? And so, however, we don't have to walk it alone. God will help us endure. And sometimes people are just worn out. Have you ever been just worn out? You have. From life's pressures, whatever they may be. But as believers, we can, along with Paul, say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. We can know that we are committed to God, that God's got this. He's got it taken care of. You're not running this race alone. You're not alone here. God is with you. And if God is with us, amen, if God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his only son, but delivered him up in our place, how shall he not freely give us all things? Romans 8 somewhere. It is in Romans 8. And so, what is endurance? There's a lot of things that are endurance. It's things that we endure. But let me ask you this. Why is endurance necessary? Because the give-up mentality solves nothing. I'm just going to quit. You know, my kids never mind. They don't do what I tell them to do. They didn't learn from the last time I told them. Last six times I told them, and they didn't get it. So I just quit. Do your parents need you to quit? I've worked with this kid forever, and he just, you know. Just remember, you were once a kid, and your parents worked with you forever just to get it in your head what they were trying to say. How many times have your parents, when you were growing up, said, look at you swearing now, I said, do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, but I'll forget 5 minutes from now. Okay. So, why is endurance necessary? Let me ask you something. If Jesus had not endured, what shape would you and I be in today? If he had given up, there would be no love. There would be no forgiveness from the guilt and the shame of sin. None of that would be lifted. You would be guilty forever. If he had given up and said, I just can't do this anymore, but he endured the cross. And hope and eternal life are ours because he endured. That's why endurance is necessary. Because we have all we have because Jesus endured so many things for you and I. Amen. You say, well, you're making it sound like the whole Christian life is just one set of tribulations and trials. I've met a few like that. It's not that way. Amen. But there are things that happen. You need God's grace. You need God's help. I've never seen a person that didn't need God's grace. God's favor. Amen. So Jesus did not give up because endurance was necessary for our salvation and for him to fulfill the work that his Father had put in his life. Endurance is taught by experience. It's something that is learned. You don't all automatically have endurance. The Apostle Paul learned endurance. Amen. And he wrote from a jail in Philippi, and he was put there for preaching the gospel of Christ and for casting the demon out of a girl. And so the devil wasn't happy with Paul. So they put him in jail, fast him in stocks and bonds, Paul and Silas. But, you know, here they were in pain. They were not comfortable at all. They didn't have recliners, not the kind they wanted. But yet, there they were. And then Paul looks at Silas and says, "Let's sing." Yeah, right. Sing about what? These stocks and bonds, it's not comfortable here. We don't have anything to sing about. But they sang hymns and praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. I don't guarantee you wherever Paul was, if he was awake, he was going to witness. The prisoners heard them singing. I don't know what they were singing. They might have been singing in faith beyond, "He set me free," hopefully. Amen. So, he wrote from a jailhouse, and he said in one place, he said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." So you see, he learned endurance. He learned walking with God. He learned to stay with God no matter what. Amen. He learned even to be content. How can you be content when it seems the whole world is against you? But he wrote to his son Timothy in the faith. He said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. Having food and clothing with these, we shall be content." Wouldn't that solve a lot of problems today? If we just thank God we had food to eat and clothes to wear? Man, I know there's some people out there that need more clothes. But anyway, when we give to people, we give to Teen Life Challenge, give to missionaries, they give food to the kids a lot of times. Amen. And they give of themselves to the Lord. And they're seeing people saved and turned around and bought with the precious blood of Christ. And the work on the cross is not in vain. Jesus endured the cross so that people could be free and be on their way to heaven instead of a devil's hell. Amen. And so Paul says, "I know how to be abased." In the scripture, he says, "I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then from jail, he could say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Not very many jail people would write and say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But Paul was saying, "I can be in jail. If I'm in jail preaching the gospel, I can endure this. If I'm in the sea," you know, at shipwreck at sea, and he was, "and I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen. When he was tempted, when he was persecuted and beaten for his faith, beaten with rods, amen. He was even stoned once and left for dead. The disciples got around, began to pray for him. He stood back up and went on preaching the gospel. And so he said, "I have learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Church, with Jesus in control of your life, you can endure. Psalms 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Just because you got trouble in your life, God didn't say, "I'm through with that one." No, God says, "I'll help you through, I'll walk you through, I'll be with you, I will not leave you, I will not abandon you. I'm going to walk with you through sorrow, heartache, grief, and pain. I'm there with you, you're not alone." I'm glad today that I'm not alone. I know that he's with us. Praise God. With Jesus in control of your life, you can endure. Amen. Why is endurance necessary? To achieve a certain goal, athletes learn endurance training to master their goal to win or exceed a particular place in competition, to be a little better than somebody else. Marathon runners train to run a marathon. I hadn't got there yet. 26 miles, I don't think I've... Anyway, I want to go to heaven someday, but I don't want to have to conquer the marathon to get there. Okay. And so they train to master a certain goal to win or exceed or to get, be greater, be the best there's ever been. But in the Christian life, life is compared to a race of life. To endure trials, test your faith. Living for God requires endurance. And we need to pray, Lord, help me to endure this. Help me to overcome this. Help me to be victorious. Help me, Lord, just to endure whatever I've got to endure. And God, I'll be glad when this is over. You might pray like that. That's not a scripture. That's just something I said. But to endure everything, we need to serve God with a made-up mind. We have already made a decision to follow Jesus and to be in heaven eternally with our Lord. We have made a decision. You know, people become what they are by decisions they make. And when people make a decision for Christ at an altar of prayer and says, God, I've committed my life. I'm going to follow you. I'm not just committing my life to you till I get out of the present problem. I'm not just getting saved so you'll give me some relief from the present trial. But Lord, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. You're in charge of me. I want to be born again of your spirit, washed in your blood. I want the spirit of God to indwell me. I want to be ruled and controlled by you, dear God. I've given my life to you from beginning to end. And I think many times that's the reason that people don't, they have a, you know, a deathbed conversion or a troubled conversion. God, if you can just get me out of this and I'll just go back and do just what I was doing before. No. When you get saved, you give your life to Jesus. Lord, you're in charge for me from now until I go into eternity. That's what born again is. You walk with God no matter what. Okay? So it's compared to a race in this life. And overcoming things that tempt you to abandon your faith in God, because temptations are there. The devil never gets tired of tempting people. Amen. There will be a day when he won't be able to tempt anybody forever. I'm looking forward to that day. But the enemy will come to you, the devil will come to you and question God's word about your faith. Thought may come to you, do you really believe all that about heaven, hell, and all that? Do you really believe all that? Do you really believe that people that preach about eternity, you really think there's eternity? We might ask the same question. Do you believe in death? I kind of think it's pretty much universal. And the enemy will come to you, have you really been forgiven? Were your sins really paid for at the cross? I'm going to tell you something, friend. We can endure that, those temptations that come from the enemy and say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know he's forgiven me. I know that I'm free. Praise God. My sins have been forgiven. The guilt and the shame is gone because Jesus took it upon himself at the cross. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. I know he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He rules in my heart. Yes, I am forgiven. Yes, I believe in heaven. Yes, I believe there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Yes, I know that my Redeemer liveth and I'll stand before him at the last day. Glory to God. If we go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we find out that endurance is compared to military training. Soldiers are taught to endure hardship. 2 Timothy 2 and 3, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Soldiers are taught endurance. They're taught obedience. If they're not taught obedience, they'll die or cause their fellow soldier to die in battle. And that's one of the things they teach you. I've never been in basic training. My parents have. My dad and my brother, both were involved in the military. But when that sergeant tells you, stand straight, salute, you obey. Fall down there and give me 10 push-ups. And you learn you've got to obey or you will be destroyed. And so the same with God. We've got to be obedient to our God. He's not looking for a chance to kick us out or make life hard for us, but he wants us to follow him as soldiers of the cross. Soldiers are taught endurance. They're taught to awake at unpleasant hours and go through a hike through rough terrain. They're taught that because they're taught they're going to go through some things when they enter the battlefield. And they've got to learn to endure those things. And we look at endurance and we must say, how do we endure? 2 Timothy 2:1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace is defined as unmerited favor, unearned favor, undeserved favor. It's the favor of God. If we were to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I should have that marked, but anyway, just endure me for a minute. Second Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Paul had the temptation here that he could have pride because he had had a lot of encounters with God. He'd been brought up to the third heaven. He saw things that were that he couldn't even talk about, unspeakable. And he could have swelled with pride, said, well, nobody's gone as far in this faith as I have. But he didn't. He didn't look at it that way. And he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. And he had a lot of revelations. He said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me as a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above nature, above measure. Pardon me. And so this thorn in the flesh, people have tried to figure out ever since Paul wrote this what his thorn in the flesh was. I know that things are a thorn in the flesh, something that's just pricking you and bothering you all the time and just won't leave you alone. Okay? So it bothered Paul that he was buffeted, poked in every area of his life as some messenger of Satan. He was not demon-possessed, but he was bothered by Satan. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. And Paul prayed this, God, would you please take this away? I've had enough of this. Have you ever prayed that? Amen. I'll say amen for you. And concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Man. And just as Paul told Timothy there, the grace of God, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you the favor of God is on your side. Whatever you have to walk through, I want to tell you his grace is more than enough. It is sufficient for that hour. Amen. His grace is sufficient. I've seen people walk through. You have to. I'm glad I never had to go through that. I don't think I could make it if I had to go through that. But yet God's grace is sufficient for them and will be for you whenever you get there. Because, matter of fact, whenever you get there, God will already be there. Amen. You're not the first one he's walked through this. You won't be the last. So the thorn in the flesh was here, was tough on Paul, but yet he endured. And Paul endured shipwreck, beatings, being stoned and left for dead, imprisonment, yet for before his execution for being a Christian and preaching Christ, he'd say, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is later for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord will give me at that day, not to me only, but all those that love his appearing. So Paul said, yeah, Noah hadn't been easy. There's been some hard things to come along, but I've endured, and I've got a crown of righteousness awaiting me. I've got Jesus to be there to see. I've got a heaven to go to. I've got a world to leave behind, and I'm ready to be offered. He said, I'm ready now. It's time for me to be offered. And he died by execution, probably by being beheaded, and because he was a Roman citizen, that was a nice way of being executed then. The cross was a bad way. And so he did that. And he said, I can do this. Endurance is part of most things in life. Let me give you an illustration here. I know it's almost 12, but not quite. So, 5 minutes is 55 minutes for a preacher. Not really. Years ago, I pastored a woman and her husband. And she was very upset one day, and she said, I was looking at my husband's truck and I found a pornographic magazine under the front seat. And she told me, and she was talking to me, and I said, okay, you know, you want to talk to Sister Norma about this? No, she talked to me, and she said, I know I'm not young anymore. I'm not as pretty as I used to be. She said, if God's going to treat me this way, she blamed it on God, if God's going to treat me this way, I'm just not going to follow him anymore. And as a pastor, that upset me. And I drove around the little town, Belarita, and I said, God, you've got to do something to this woman. You've got to talk to her heart. I know she can't give up serving you just because, you know, she found this out about her husband. Amen. You can't. But, you know, she eventually came back to the Lord and repented, and God forgave her, and God restored her, and God was able to make her and her husband endure each other. No, they did good. As a matter of fact, they moved off and went to somewhere in Washington State, and there they couldn't find a church, which bothers me. You can always find a church to go to. They couldn't, but anyway, they continued to send their ties to us, and we lived off of that because things were hard in El Dorado. God provided. God made a way. Amen. And so, you know, when it comes to the pornographic thing, don't touch that. Leave it alone. Amen. Don't look it up on your internet. Don't look at naked people on the internet. It's not there. God didn't make internet for that. I don't know. I'm sure God made internet, period. But anyway, good things there, but there's bad things there. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be in love with sinful things. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. You can't love sin and love God at the same time. You got to reject one or the other. I encourage you to reject sin and love God with all your heart. And so, God made marriage, and God put it there, and God put parental authority there. And to rebel, young people, against your parents is not just having a disagreement with your parents. That's sin against God, because God has put authority in the home. Now, if they're asking you to do something sinful, that's one thing. But if they're telling you to clean your room up and straighten up, amen, if they tell you to be home by 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, then you obey. Obedience. Just remember, you'll have kids one of those days, and you say, well, you know, they just won't obey me. Well, did you obey? Okay. Whatever you sow, you'll also reap. But don't be in love with sinful things. The book of Jude gives us an answer there. Jude, he's one chapter, the whole book in one chapter. Most people say you ought to read your Bible every day. They're going to pick out Jude to read, or 2nd, 3rd John, or Obadiah. All of them have one chapter. But Jude there says, but beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Amen. That's the way you can overcome. That's the way you can overcome the things of your age. And Jude lived in a time when there were people that had forsaken the faith, and they didn't love God. They didn't live for God. They didn't serve God. They claimed to at one time, but they had turned back. But Jude said, you just keep on praying. You just keep on living God. You just pray till you get full of the Holy Spirit, and God will help you to endure and overcome. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so, my friend, we might have to endure hardship as a good soldier of the cross. Endurance happens, and we have to endure. Amen. Yes, I need to preach a message at the end of this on victory. Amen. Be back tonight at 6. If you're not, I'll know you didn't want victory. No, praise the Lord. God helps us endure, overcome, and to be victorious. And God's got rewards powerfully for the overcomer. And it's God's will for you to overcome and to be victorious. It's God's will for you to be saved and end up in heaven. God loves you. God cares. God knows. But we have to make a commitment, have to make a decision. We're going to serve Him no matter what. Amen.